coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Mino and the Mayor, with special guest Shannon Cohen, who's sitting in for Johnny, who's out on special assignment. We're here at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 FM WISS, and of course, always the Civic Media app that you can download and listen to us anytime you want.
Scotty Summer, right?
That's right.
We got that big text to win contest going on right now.
This is going to be fun.
Across, and I have to tell you, we had a winner, John from Appleton, a winner over the last couple of days. Just one of the winners across the state. So
cool.
If you haven't played along, be listening in because in just a bit, we'll give you this hour's keyword for Scotty Summer Getaway.
Right. You get this keyword and you can win some awesome prizes, Wisconsin Dells prize pack, Brewers Club level, not just Brewers, you know, general seating. These are club-level seats and a few other prizes. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, Medicare Fraud Prevention Week is this week. And, you know, there's a lot of people on Medicare, and it's designed to help people who are, you know, 65 and older. There's a little bit of fraud going on, too. And we have got a senior Medicare patrol person on the line with us. Ingrid, good morning. Ingrid, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
All right, great. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what are you working on? This is Senior Medicare Patrol. That's kind of a cool title.
I guess I hadn't thought about it that way. So, yeah, we're just trying to get as much information out to the public as possible, especially during this week, which is recognized nationally as Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, just educating people about the fact that, unfortunately, there is Medicare-related fraud, and then providing them with a few tips in terms of how they could protect themselves from that.
So, Ingrid, what's the biggest type of fraud? Is it through the mail? Is it? What happens? How do people get scammed?
Most often people get scammed when the fraudsters either call them on the phone and ask them, you know, pretending that maybe they're from Medicare or some other legitimate organization and, you know, getting people to share their Medicare information, or else they get people's Medicare numbers in other ways and then submit fraudulent claims to Medicare for payment. So what that would look like is, if I received a phone call this morning and they told me that they were from Medicare and they wondered if I had any back pain, and I said, yeah, you know, I've been struggling with that a little bit, and they say, oh, we've got the perfect thing for you. It's going to be great. It's free. Medicare is going to cover the entire cost. We're going to send you this back brace. All I need to do with you is verify your Medicare information and you'll be all set. We'll get something in the mail to you.
But that sounds like super convincing. That just sounds so convincing.
They're so good at what they do. We tell people that all the time. We really encourage people to just, you know, rely on their caller ID if they have access to that. And I know most people do, but some people still don't have access to that. But to really try and stay off the phone if they don't recognize the number, because you're absolutely right. They're super convincing. And even when you answer it, if you think, oh, I know this is a scam, suddenly they might have a certain piece of information about you that you think, well, how would they have that? No one else would know that. Or something that just turns your brain to thinking like, oh, well, maybe this is legitimate. And then it causes all sorts of troubles for you potentially as the Medicare beneficiary, and it costs Medicare a lot of money.
Are any of these legit? I mean, can we tell our listeners, look, if you get a call about a Medicare free service that they're going to bill Medicare, hang up? Or like, how do you tell if it's the real deal or not? Do you have them call you back, or do you have a number and you call them back? Or what's your advice if you can't detect it? It sounds like really true.
We always encourage people to just hang up. And the reason I say that is because Medicare does pay for back braces and all sorts of things, but we encourage people to speak and work directly with their healthcare provider so that there's no misunderstanding. So if you have back pain, I'm certainly not saying that back braces are bad. They're absolutely helpful in some situations, but I would encourage you, the person with the back pain, to talk to your healthcare provider directly. You feel comfortable with that person, and then you and that and your healthcare provider can make the decision as to whether or not that might be something that could be helpful. And then he or she's going to write you an order, which is required by Medicare, mm-hmm. for that back brace in this example, and then provide you with options as far as where you could go and get that prescription filled. And that company that you're going to work with that provides the equipment is going to make sure that you get the right size. They're going to make sure that you know how to wear it properly, mm-hmm. and do all of that. If you talk to the fraudster on the phone, I can almost guarantee you that they're going to just grab whatever size off the shelf, because they're not going to ask you anything more. Once the Medicare information is shared, they're done. They're going to hang up the phone quick and submit that claim to Medicare as quickly as possible, so that you, before you have a chance to realize, like, wait a minute, that didn't seem right. And they may share that Medicare information with other companies, and then you might get a back brace, but then you might get all kinds of other things that you didn't want or you don't need as well.
You know, we just got done talking to someone who coordinates volunteers and does all these good things. They go out to 240 organizations and help them. And then you get these people that really prey on the elderly, and it's just really kind of sad. And I'm wondering, you're talking about it. What can we do? I mean, I think about my mom, you know, she's like 90, and mm-hmm. she's like one of the nicest people, and mm-hmm. I can see her not, she would think that's rude to hang up on someone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we encounter that a lot, you know, especially this age group. They were taught to, you know, they answered the phone, they right. said who they were, they gave all sorts of information. It might have even been a party line, so half of your right. neighborhood may have heard that information too. And so, you know, a lot of times when we're out doing educational presentations, we do say, you know, we can't take people at their word on the phone anymore. And I hate to say that, because that's really sad and unfortunate, but we just really have to be careful. In the case of your mother, I mean, I would just say, for what can you do, is just, you know, ask questions about phone calls, or even better yet, I don't know if, you know, you feel comfortable or she feels comfortable, but keeping an eye on Medicare statements is really important, because mm-hmm. sometimes these fraud things happen when they didn't call you, or maybe you didn't remember, or it seemed, or you didn't get anything on your front porch delivered to you as far as medical supplies. And so that doesn't prompt you to think, oh yeah, I got that phone call, I better make sure Medicare right. didn't pay for this. Sometimes that just all happens behind the scenes. So if people are looking at their Medicare statements on a regular basis, just a quick scan, I know they can be a little bit complicated, the forms, but just making sure that dates match, providers match, and the description of what the claim was for Medicare matches something that actually happened to you in the clinic, in the hospital, at the pharmacy, whatever that might be, just to make sure that there aren't any fraudulent or suspicious claims.
That is great advice for kids to help their parents, right? Because a lot of us are in that, yep. that, and just to go through the Medicare statement with your parents, and you're right, there's some stuff, yep. I don't know if they're going to share that with
you. People should go through all their statements.
Right. But there's a couple of nevers. Yes, one is never give out your credit card. I mean, we've convinced her of that, but I still think she yeah. talks to everybody who calls. Okay. So, this is great news. And anything that we can do to help get the word out. I mean, Ingrid Kundinger is the senior Medicare patrol. She educates our community, and there's so many baby boomers that are now eligible for Medicare, and we just don't want to get scammed. So mm-hmm. any website we can go to real quick?
Absolutely. The website here in Wisconsin is smpwi.org. So there's a lot of information on our website. You can subscribe to our quarterly newsletter via website. You can request, if you're part of a civic group or an organization or a knitting club or a whatever sort of group, and you might be interested in having someone from our team come and just give you a quick presentation about Medicare-related fraud and scams and share some of our resources, we'd love to come and spend that time with you. You
Terrific.
Can request a presentation that way. And I would say, too, we have a toll-free helpline. If you find yourself in a situation where you just got a phone call and you shared more information than you wished, and you want to talk to someone about that, you can give us a call. Or if you look on your Medicare statement and you see something that doesn't seem to jive with your memory as far as what happened in the office, at the doctor, you can call us with that, and we'll walk you through next steps to make sure that your Medicare information is safe.
Terrific. We'll put that on our website as well. Ingrid Kundinger, thank you for what you're doing for the senior citizens in this area, Medicare fraud. All right, we want to talk to you again. This is very important information, and it's Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, and thanks for what you're doing, Ingrid.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You
I
bet.
Really appreciate it.
All right. Do we have time to do a John Minel thing, Todd?
Let's do the contest.
All right, let's do the contest.
Let's do that, all right?
Boom.
Ooh.
Pretty loud music.
This is...
All right, it's our Civic Media Scotty Summer. Text to win statewide contest on WGBW, WISS. This is your chance to win a Wisconsin Dells prize pack. Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets. Those are awesome seats. And be a finalist for the grand prize that includes a staycation to Door County, Fort Atkinson, or Lake Geneva.
This hour's keyword is win. W-I-N.
Thanks
win.
For spelling it. Yeah.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores and choose WISS or WGBW and use the text button to send the keyword win for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
All right. Get in on this. Again, the word is win. W-I-N. Again, thanks for spelling that. Find WGBW WISS on the Civic Media app and use the text button to send it right now. And we need it because we're kind of competing with some other stations.
You guys got some work to do. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, come on, okay. Green Bay.
Yep. Okay, come on, you guys. A couple of these guys in Madison beat us yesterday. So, come on, text us in the word win. You have until the end of the hour. And your next chance to be playing again after 9 with Earl. Well, we don't want to play with Earl. We want to play with us.
Oh, we want them to play all the time because they have more chances to win.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's true. All right, all right, all right, all right. But text it in right now. We need people in our listening area, which, of course, is Oshkosh, Appleton, Green Bay.
All of Northeast Wisconsin.
All of Northeast Wisconsin. Yep. That's where we have our towers. Okay, all of Northeast Wisconsin. Text it in. Win. And use the Civic Media app.
I have to tell you, the reason why we spell it, guys, is because when people are listening to the radio, they may have heard you say the word when, right?
Oh.
So that's why when you do this on the radio, you say the text word is win, W-I-N, So.
Okay.
Yeah, people say I talk fast so they could hear something else.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I play a lot of Scrabble. And
we got a few people texting in this morning, so we got to pick up the pace a little bit.
All right. We'll give them another reminder, but... No, that three-letter words don't get you much points on Scrabble.
No,
so that's
not
why.
At all.
But I'm glad you spelt it because I would have struggled with that.
We'll get to a John Minel segment coming up in just a bit. How's that sound?
All right, we're going to be back. We're going to do that now.
We'll when we come back.
All right, great. We'll be right back. We're going to listen to another excerpt from one of Johnny's books, honoring this very important day here in our country, D-Day. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minel and the Mayor. We got our special guest, Shannon Cohen, in today. And today we are honoring D-Day. As you know, on June 6th, that was 1944. We lost over 4,400 troops were killed that day. And over 2,500 were Americans. As you know, my usual co-host, John Minel, has written books honoring the veterans and interviewed some of these people who were there that day. Many of them are gone, but... I want to share some of that with you, so if we could just hear an excerpt from Minel.
You never knew when the call would come, but all of a sudden, one day, we were told to head out. We knew it had to be the big one because of all the activity around us. We hadn't seen anything like that before. We got into formation with all these other ships, thousands and thousands of them. We were absolutely amazed by the whole thing. I was on the bridge of the ship. It was a very dark morning, just dark and gloomy. The sea was actually rather calm. As far as you could see all around you, there was nothing but airplanes and ships on their way to Normandy. The battle wagons would sit a few miles offshore and send shells over our heads to the beach. Then there were destroyers. My God, just tons and tons of ships and materials. We headed to Normandy and sat there until they needed us. Our cargo consisted of troops, trucks, heavy trucks, tanks, jeeps, just all kinds of things. We would drive the vehicles right up onto the beach from our lower deck. When we got close to shore, it really started getting bad. We didn't hit any mines, luckily. On one of the many trips we made that day, I was watching from the main deck. We were in a two-ship column. I'm looking at the ship next to us. All of a sudden, it must have hit a mine because it just exploded and started to sink. We couldn't stop. We had to just keep moving towards the beach. The only time we ever stopped to help was when we came upon a Liberty ship that was sinking. It was loaded with tanks and everything else. They must have been torpedoed or hit a mine because it was severely damaged. There wasn't anything you could do to save that ship. All we could do was take guys off theirs and put them on ours. Those poor Army guys that were on our ship, oh boy. The doors would open and they would climb out. Those guys were scared. We were scared too. But those guys were more scared of being on our ship than on dry land. They knew ships were being blown up all around us. They wanted to get out and take their chances on shore. I wouldn't have traded places with those guys for anything, and those guys wouldn't have traded places with us. Everybody was scared to death. It didn't matter where you were located. It was terrible. Just terrible. They were firing at our ships. Those were terrible things that could destroy just about anything. Our guys just had to go up, kill the Germans, knock out the guns. Our destroyers would come in close and fire the heck out of them, but a lot of the destroyers got shot up too. So you had people getting killed both ways all the time. You really couldn't tell who was winning or who was losing. It was just a mass of firing. We saw ships sunk, guys drowning, dead guys floating in the water. It looked like those poor guys on the beach were in terrible shape, just terrible. Once we unloaded our cargo, we'd load up with the wounded troops. We made many trips, many back and forth from the French coast to England. We had three or four doctors on our ship, and they had an operating room. You felt so bad for the poor guys they were working on. They maybe had an arm blown off, but they were just fighting to stay alive. The doctors would have cut off what was left of something and throw the parts over the side. There were parts and everything floating in the water. It was just a terrible, terrible thing to see. We had put those poor wounded guys on stretchers, three or four high along the walls of our tank decks and attached to the bulkhead. You just felt terrible for those guys on D-Day at Normandy. Richard Stoltz, United States Navy.
Wow. You know, you think about that, the detail. You know, John interviewed these guys, and they got to have nightmares. Look, listen to the detail in that guy's story. I mean,
right, and that was
from 80 years ago, but
exactly.
Maybe when John did this, it was 75 years ago. But they live with that. I just hope they understand how great that was, what they did. You know what I mean? Like, I think, I think about that, and I just, 19 years old, 20 years old, so.
Right, it blows my mind. Today is my kid's last day of school. My son came home with a photo that was hanging up at school, and it says, "When I grow up, I want to be a soldier."
Well, that's cool.
I was like, wow, it kind of blew my mind. He's gone back and forth between police officer, firefighter, and soldier, and as a mom, I'm like, oh, absolutely not, but I'm also like, wow. Like, this little boy really wants to do something to help people.
That's cool. I wonder what inspired him to do that. I think that's awesome. How old is he?
7.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I've had some grandparents, an uncle, they have all passed, but, we're in the Army. We didn't talk about it all that much. So I don't know where he caught up on this, but I actually am very proud.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you look at serving this country, and I think a couple of the, there's the five branches. I think a couple of them are struggling a little bit to meet their quota.
Right.
But it's, when I was in high school, maybe people went there because there was nothing else to do. Now you've got to be pretty smart to get in there. I mean, the tests to get into the military are a lot tougher than they used to be. And they still need people. Yeah, I think it's a very rewarding life. You know, I'd like John, I've spent some time with the troops in Kuwait and Djibouti and on the USS Eisenhower, which was unbelievable. But they're young kids, but is the word happy? They just feel really good about themselves. I mean, they all feel really proud. So yeah, it's an interesting industry career that people could take. And, look, if you stick with it, you can, do a lot for the country, and you can also do okay for yourself as well. But yeah, that's a real calling. I just, not sure that was on my list.
I'll let you know in 2010, 15
won't be that
years.
Long. You wait. All of a sudden he's going to be like, Mom, I'm enlisting. I'm going to the Air Force or whatever.
My husband wanted to be in the Navy, but he didn't have the eyesight.
Yeah. And yeah, the Navy's cool. I mean, we have that ship, the USS Green Bay, and that was pretty cool. The laying of the keel, which is, you know, the they start construction, and then of course the dedication, the christening. Those were fun things. One down in New Orleans, and then the other one out in Long Beach, and that's a cool ship, the Navy ship. It's really what's the word? I won't say decorated, but it really honors Green Bay. There's photos of Bay Beach on the ship. There's photos of the waterfront. There's and the ropes, because those ships, a lot of steps, and all the railings are green and gold.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's cool. It's really cool.
I think they brought back the movie Top Gun, and that really got a lot of people like back into it, because how cool.
Yeah, that got some people. There were people signing up right when it came out of the movie. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know if glamorous isn't the right word, but it's very rewarding. I think that's pretty cool. Well, I hope your son makes, well, you'll help him make the right decision. But
absolutely,
we do need people to do that. And, you know, this D-Day 80 years ago. So like we said, the average person who is living today that was there was, you know, is 100 years old. But I'm just amazed at their recall. And that just tells you what an impact. Like, I can't recall a lot of things I did when I was 19.
Oh, me either.
A little bit of a blur for me. Some of those weekends. But, you know, the detail that they have, you know, it was just an impact on them. And they lived their whole life with that. And I just hope they feel as good as we do about giving us everything we have today. So, yeah.
Yeah, incredible. I think it's amazing that John's sharing these stories.
Oh, yeah. He's done a great job of interviewing these guys. And it's all from the heart with him. All right. Well, we're going to be right back. We got a few more excerpts that Johnny's going to share with us through his books on some of these people who served in D-Day. And on a lighter side, we have Jim Collar coming in from Fox City's Experience Music Festival. That is a great event. And, of course, Kate's coming in to talk about downtown Green Bay, which there's so many activities happening with that as well. So, yeah, we stick around. We are going to be right back. And, of course, we got Jason coming in, too, with the Thrasher Opera House. Have you been down there? That place is great.
Mm-mm.
All right, stick around. We're going to be right back. Shannon and the Mayor.
Right now on WGBW and WISS, your chance to win that Wisconsin Dells prize pack, Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats, and could be a finalist for a grand prize. Great Lake House getaway, trip to Door County, or an escape to Lake Geneva could be yours. This hour's word once again is WIN, W-I-N, WIN. Download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps. Choose WGBW or WISS and text in right now for your chance to qualify and possibly win in the statewide contest. WIN. Now more of Mino and the Mayor this morning with Jim Schmidt and Shannon Cohen.
All right, welcome back to Shannon and the Mayor.
Sounds so good.
Doesn't it? This time of year, especially this weekend, this weather, we are hitting on all cylinders this weekend when it comes to the weather. Not too hot, not too cool. It's going to be nice and sunny. And it's time to get out and enjoy what's being offered, especially when it comes to festivals. And there is a great one. Actually, that's starting tonight. I thought it was starting tomorrow. It's starting tonight. Fox City's Experience Music Festival. And we got the man in here who knows everything about it, the communications director, and he's been working this. Jim Collar, welcome.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, Johnny and I talk a lot on this show about getting engaged in the community, and there's some great things, farmers markets. We've had them on from Oshkosh and Green Bay. You've got quite the event coming up. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so it's 3 days starting tonight with a kids' carnival day. We've got a nice carnival set up at beautiful Jefferson Park in Menasha, right on the Lake Winnebago shoreline.
Wow.
Dollar rides for kids today. Then on Friday and Saturday, our focus turns to live music, and we have some of the best bands from the Fox Valley music scene. If you are unfamiliar with our highly talented Fox City's music scene, this is your opportunity to get familiar real fast.
Yeah. Who are you bringing in?
So some of the highlights on Saturday, for instance, we have Fox Menagerie followed by Kyle Megna and the Monsoons. We're really excited to have the Cool Waters Band headline our Saturday lineup.
Wow.
They haven't played with us before.
That is so cool. This is a family thing. I mean, you're not like, you know, sometimes these events cater to a certain demographic, but this is the whole family, right?
We think it caters to everyone,
right?
But certainly kids are welcome and will fit in perfectly at the Fox Cities experience. Like I said, we have a carnival ride, and it's set in a gorgeous park with playgrounds. We got food trucks. It's a great way to spend a family evening.
And there's nothing better, but it's really cool to be outside. Great music with food trucks, because food trucks give you the variety you're looking for.
There is nothing better. And we kind of pitch ourselves as the opening weekend for the outdoor live music season in the Fox Cities. So, yeah, this is a chance to shake off that cabin fever and go out to see all those bands that you've been waiting to see in an outdoor environment with a cold drink in hand and heading over to the food truck and grabbing stuff your doctor doesn't want you to eat.
It's all right. It's a kickoff. Like you said, this is a very special weekend. You can indulge a little bit.
I'm looking forward to the traveling snake show magic. Oh, come on.
Yeah, so as part of our family night tonight, we'll have the traveling snake show. This is fun. It's this gentleman comes in and he's got a variety of snakes, and he's great with children. He lets them handle the snakes, and it gives the kids a chance to get up and close with animals they haven't maybe had a chance to handle before.
I was glad I never had that chance. I'm not a snake guy, but it's funny, but kids. You know, they're attracted to snakes. Some kids just think it's a cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're curious.
Yes.
To give them a safe chance to experience something new. No, how fun is that?
I'll pass on that. tell me about the rides, the Carney rides. What do you have there?
Oh, so we'll have some rides that are more appropriate for the little guys, but we'll also have a few things, the Rocco Planes, for instance, to give a bit of a thrill to us older folks as well.
Us, I'm probably 30 years older than you. And then, so this, where does this kicks off tonight? What, give me some times on this thing.
Tonight, for family night, we kick off at 4 p.m. and we're going to be going until 9 p.m. In addition to the carnival festivities, we'll have, we mentioned the snakes, but we'll also have karaoke. We'll have a little bit of fun for everybody. Then on Friday and Saturday, we run from 4 p.m. until 11 p.m. We got 25 sets of live music slated across the weekend.
And these are all local artists?
Yeah. We've got, from local, meaning from around the Northeast Wisconsin region. A few cover bands, but a lot of originals as well. So it's a great, diverse lineup.
All right. So Jim, tell us again, where is this located?
This is in Jefferson Park in Menasha. It's basically at the very tip top of Lake Winnebago, right on the Lake Winnebago shore. So you'll be able to get your food from the food truck, sit on the shoreline, enjoy the cool breeze, and hear the tunes.
You know, we're talking at the break. Some of these can be a little bit risky, because as hard as you work and get the volunteers and the food trucks, if you're rained out, you're rained out. And this, I'm really happy for you, because I know you've been working on this for a year, and it really looks like you're going to have perfect weather.
Well, yeah, that when you're doing an outdoor event, that's the risk you take, and a little rain can put a damper on profits for sure. But looking at the forecast for this weekend, we're not thinking about our finances as much as we're thinking about the great fun.
Right.
That the community is going to have.
And you said earlier, and I just want to underscore that, it's kind of the kickoff. I mean, people need to get out, and it's, once you do it, you're going to go to a lot. There's a lot going on this summer in Northeast Wisconsin. And
100%.
Yeah, and this is just a cool way to start it and say, this was awesome. You know, and then the kids, well, let's go back, or your spouse or partner, yeah, let's do this again. And you have a lot going on down there, but I mean, this is.
Oh, the way I look at it is, three quarters of the year, you're not really leaving the house much. So that last quarter, if you're not outside and soaking it in, you're doing it wrong. Okay.
Jim, you know, you've been doing this for a number of years. I wanted to talk a little bit about the volunteers. Obviously, you cannot put an event like this on year after year with all these musicians, with all this music, with all this family stuff, without those folks. How do you come about that many people to help out?
Well, we're able to get the help. Because we have a pretty good arrangement. A portion of the proceeds that we have go back to the groups that help us in terms of our volunteers. So, you know, we'll bring in, for instance, hypothetically, a dance school, and they'll work so many hours, and they'll get a rate per hour per volunteer, and then that'll go back to help their organization.
Oh,
so
that's wonderful.
That is wonderful. So Shannon works at the new community shelter and coordinates that. And 2 weeks ago, we worked the marathon, and we get some proceeds from that too.
Which and it's actually, you know, everyone thoroughly enjoys helping out, especially a local event, knowing that it does help out. But then it's also it's great for the community.
Well, to think that a weekend of great fun, recreation, get together with your family, hanging out with your friends, and knowing that nonprofits in the community are right. helped out by it as well. It doesn't get any better than that.
It checks all the boxes.
It does.
So have you been in this for a while? You seem like you're really into this.
I've been working with the experience for the last 3 or 4 years. And prior to that, I was a fan.
Oh, there you go. That's a good start.
So you get the passion and now you can turn it into being a little bit more of a management. Tell me a little bit more about the bands. I'm not familiar with all of them, but you got a favorite band or kind of music? Is it bluegrass? Is it modern? What kind of music are you showing?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. Well, that's good.
No, we work to have an incredibly diverse lineup. You know, we have your rock, we've got your blues, but we also have some reggae answer. We got some jam bands. We have a we have a Green Day tribute act.
Awesome.
If you don't like what you're hearing, move over to the next tent or wait a half an hour. You're going to find something.
Right. Hey, how about parking? Is that just I'm putting a budget together? Where do I park? How much is parking? That whole thing?
The beauty of this festival is you can come and enjoy music for the weekend without spending a dime. We encourage you to hit up those food trucks, grab something at the beer tent or the soda tent. But it's free. Free parking in the neighborhood, nice. Free to come in. Enjoy and put a little money down for some cheese curds or whatnot. But we aim to make this affordable and open to everyone.
And people appreciate that. And I think if it's free, they actually spend more than if it's ticketed. It's absolutely. Like, no, that's it. We're done. I went to a concert like you're talking about 2 weeks ago. I was down in Nashville. My kids live down there. And they have this at the Parthenon, you know, that big park that they have down there. And now the music's a little bit more country, which it should be, right? And they got these unbelievable artists. But again, it was free. And it was, I don't know, they had like 4,000 people there or something. It was crazy. But it was great. It was free parking. It was free admission. People would stay for a little while, then leave, you know, because it was an all-day deal. But this is great for get the blanket out and just kind of take it all in.
Yeah, 100%. We want the vibe where, you know, it's just a welcoming vibe where everyone can come in and have a great time, regardless of what their income status might be. Just come out and have fun.
We got a text actually from somebody who wanted to say thank you for all you do at the Fox Cities Experience. Really excited to experience the festival at the new location. Are people allowed to bring in their own chairs? Oh. That was a question for you.
We will have plenty of chairs available. That is one of the things we do. We have table and chairs, but if you feel comfortable in your own, put it in the trunk.
There you go.
New location. I heard you guys were in Kaukauna last year.
We were in Kaukauna for the last since our inception. This is our first foray into Menasha and Jefferson Park. Ultimately, this is a difficult time to do music festivals. It's a time where costs are up and it's more difficult to get sponsorships. And ultimately, at the end of the day, we saw this new option to have more regional branding, being the Fox Cities Experience is more rather than the Kaukauna-centric Electric City Experience would help us draw a broader base of sponsors.
That's
as
awesome,
well as
right?
a more centrally located.
What's wrong with that?
As much as it's in your heart and your passion, it's a little bit of a business too. And like you said, you know, you want to broaden your demographics. You want to get more regional sponsorship. Yeah. I applaud you for that. Cause you know, change is always a little bit like, ooh, are we doing the right thing? But I mean, this sounds like you really got this thing wired.
Yeah. It was an absolutely difficult decision and we were absolutely grateful and 100% thankful for all the support we've gotten from Kakana through the years. But we're looking at the future, and we're looking at inflation, and we're looking at being a sustainable event that can provide entertainment for our community for many years to come. And we saw this as a good solution.
Great.
Is it a bigger space? Does it give you more room?
It's a better organized space.
Oh, there you go.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a little bit of a tighter space, but that just means our stages are more easily walked. We got grass instead of concrete. We're not
People
crossing
appreciate
streets.
That.
Yeah. All right. You got the mayor coming. He was on our show. You got newly elected mayor down there, so I'm sure he's going to be there shaking hands.
I would
hope he would be. I think everybody should be there. But
the folks in Menasha were great to work with.
That's and, a good community, and, man. They got it going on.
We would certainly hope the mayor is in attendance.
I don't put him on the spot, but I'm sure he will be.
We'll get him on the phone, Jim. You can ask him directly.
I feel bad now. I thought he was going to say he's kicking the event off, but like I would do. But anyway, this is great. This starts tonight, which is very cool. And with the kids rides festival, family night, almost not family night, but just a night to get out there. And it's a 3-day event.
It's a 3-day event. And, wow. And again, yeah, we are going for, attract a little bit of everyone. Like I said, if you're not really going to hang out for the live music, come out and browse the food trucks and have an awesome dinner. It's just going to be an enjoyable weekend out by the lake.
Do you have some of the food truck names? Because I'm big into food trucks. We had a guy on here. What was that, 509?
Reggie from Caribbean Taste.
The Caribbean food.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sure you got, as long as you have the, what are those onions called that my doctor hates?
The blooming onions.
The blooming onions. And the cheese curds, man.
Oh, we got the cheese curds. We've got, I don't have the names on the top of my head, but
a variety.
But we have an absolute variety. I think we have I thought the last count was 7 different entrees,
awesome.
In addition to desserts and everything else.
We're there.
Can we find more information?
You can go to Facebook, just type in Fox Cities Experience or foxcitiesexperience.com.
All right.
Awesome.
This is terrific. Fox Cities Experience Music Festival kicks off tonight, June 6th, and it goes through June 8th. Yeah, thanks for being here, Jim. This
Thank
is going to be great.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got good passion for this thing. This is going to be very successful.
I'm excited for the weekend.
All right, cool. All right, we'll see you down there.
Take care.
All right, we're going to be right back with Shannon the Mayor in just a minute. Todd always has music that fits with what we're talking about. What was that one? Why this one? Shannon and I are both happily married to different people.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Why is he like...
Honestly, in this case, because we've got a very busy morning, so I'm running around and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of choosing stuff that I have in the bank that I like.
Okay. Is it? This has been kind of a... This is a great day, but we started off with Mino and Otis, and he's down on special assignment, and that was great to talk to the Flukies, and then, of course, we had the Associated Bank in here talking about volunteerism, and Ingrid in talking about senior Medicare, and then Jim Collar. And I don't want to dwell on Jim's event, but, you know, those events are fun. I just love...
Absolutely.
Well, I love free, too. But you get down there and that's on a great setting down in Menasha, and you got the food trucks and did the variety of music. And like you said, if you're not into the bluegrass, stick around in a half hour, they're going to have a different band or you go to a different tent. And those are fun things to do. And, you know,
and the food,
the food and then, you know, the free parking. And, so that's a good thing. We got to get into that. Do you have a favorite event or place to go to in the summer? I mean, you're a big farmer's market, right?
Yep, absolutely. No, I mean, we just try to experience anything that's going on. We live near Barkhausen.
Yeah.
And they do a ton of events. They just had a frog event where you went and catch frogs. I think I'd
be right up there with the snakes with me, but I'm glad you hope you had fun.
Yes, I don't like touching them. But no, I just...
But I do like frog legs.
Ew. Gosh.
I do.
No fish. No frog legs. Oh. And what was my other one? I had something else that I was like, no camping.
All right. No, I don't camp.
Yeah. I'm just striking out left and right.
No. I cannot wait because in a couple of weeks, I'm taking some days off. I will be out in front of a campfire, phone off. Nobody's going to be able to get in touch with me. That's fine. That's
bugs.
Fine.
I'll put up.
Listen, God. I work with you and John every day. That's about as bad as mosquitoes in a tent.
That's true. Right?
True that.
Constant. Just buzzing.
That was right after I stayed at a homeless shelter one time and not far from my house. And it reminded me of camping. I was just like, what am I doing here?
You know, like you stayed there to like experience.
Yeah, I wanted to see what was going on, how it was to, you know, yeah. I've done that before at other
places. Interesting.
Well, that's, you really learn by, you know, people.
I think that's phenomenal. Yeah. You know firsthand.
Well, people tell stuff. That's why even, when I was first elected, it was this day with the mayor, and I say I slept with the fire department, but you know, I stayed overnight, you know, in the bunk waiting for the thing to go off and
whatever trips your trigger.
Yeah, right, right. 20 with the police department picking up garbage. Although those guys weren't as nice to me, I'll share this quick story with you. So I wanted to. The way you learn is to get on the front line.
Exactly.
It's like at the homeless shelter, right? Like we deal with the residents.
First
That's
hand.
How we learn yep. about it instead of reading all this stuff. And, you know, and great, there's a lot of theory out there. And, oh, we should do this, you should do that. Well, let's go talk to them and see what they think. But so I did this day with the mayor and with the department. And I worked with garbage. And that was before we had automated garbage pickup. Okay.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
I instituted that, you know, a few years after I was elected. But it was, so you had to pick up these like tin cans. Remember those things and mm-hmm. bags and. Well, you have to have your CDL license to drive. And the way they do that to kind of save your back was you would rotate, you know, an hour driving, two of guys on the back of the truck, and then the next day. Well, I couldn't do that because I didn't have a CDL license. So I was on the back of the truck the whole time.
Oh, no.
And I don't think they were as nice to me as I reflect back on that because we did an area that was a little lower income. They don't always put the stuff in bags and stuff. So anyway, I picked up the can and it was dead fish. And I was anyway, okay. Hey, but that was then, this is now. Although we think 80 years ago was something much more important, and that was D-Day when we lost some people. And we want to hear another excerpt from John.
Absolutely.
Mino D-Day. John interviewed some of these people, and he's going to share with us one
story.
More story.
We trained really hard. We were in great shape. We could run all day. They put us through all sorts of drills. They had us fighting each other all the time. I wasn't a big guy. I think I weighed 140 pounds or so. But you didn't back down. You were trained so good that you figured you could take on anybody. That night, they gave us so much equipment, we could barely walk. We didn't know how we'd be able to fight with so much stuff. The ride over got pretty rough. Nobody said too much. We didn't know if we were over our target or not when we jumped. We were just happy to get out of the plane. I do remember that. When we landed, we couldn't find a lot of our guys. We didn't know what happened to them. We had a job to do. We'd been trained for it over and over. But first, we had to fight just to stay alive and get enough guys together. The scariest part? Sitting there in the pitch black when all of a sudden guys would drop down right next to you. We had code words to tell us from the Germans. One guy would say, "Flash!" If you heard that, you had better answer Gordon or you're in trouble. They told us that Germans had trouble saying the letter R. That was the main thing about that first day, fighting just to stay alive. I know there's been a lot of stuff written about the war, but there's also lots of stuff nobody talks about. One day, a buddy and me made a vow. If we got out of there, we would never talk about some of the things we saw. You can't really describe what it was like. It's no use trying to tell someone about how horrible that first night was, how scared everybody was. People talk about fighting big battles, but really, a lot of times, you don't really know what's going on around you. You're just fighting to stay alive. You can't really explain to somebody how cold it was, how miserable it was sitting in that foxhole, how tired you were. In some ways, that's what war really is. But I don't think anybody wants to hear about that stuff. You don't want to talk about guys you were close to, close friends, who got killed or really badly wounded. You never forget them, though. Another thing nobody talks about is the enemy. Even though you were taught to kill them, when you met the prisoners, a lot of them were just regular guys. Some of them looked like they should have been in high school. Of course, a lot of our guys looked like that too. When I look at the pictures, it really hits home how young we all were. But I don't think anybody who ever came home ever felt young again. Don Pachorek, 101st Airborne.
Wow. And I think Johnny is so right with that, or what the gentleman just shared with him. how young they were. And you look at the prisoners and we had to go kill these Germans and they're kids too. You know, I mean, that's just, war is just so ugly. And, but any, like you said, you come back and you kind of missed out on that time that it's kind of cool to be 18 to 21, 22. And, you know, they missed that. They've given
it. Right.
We got a text this morning from a listener who's thanking us for sharing those this morning so that the stories are never quite forgotten.
Yeah.
No, it happens absolutely. As time goes by, you know, the families don't share them anymore and all of a sudden they're gone. So thank goodness.
Yeah.
And we've got some of them in a book and, you know, in other places, but my goodness.
And Johnny does a good job of reading that.
Yes.
You know, I just, you know, like that's first. He needs to put his books on tape because, you know, my mom, who reads all the time, she doesn't really read. She gets the books, but she listens to them. And she's a big fan of John's. And
I told a friend of mine I was coming on here today. And with D-Day, he never got to meet his grandpa, but he is actually in one of John's books.
Yeah.
So he read that and he's like, that's. I was able to figure out things.
Yeah, he captured that. Yeah. We have a couple more of those coming up too, but right now we got to go to a little bit of break and we have coming up Katie Kamen. Yeah, that's it. Katie Kamen. I'm sorry about that, Katie. Downtown Green Bay Incorporated. A lot of stuff going on besides Farmer's Market. Friday's on the Fox. She's going to inform us of that. And then we're going to talk about the Thrasher Theater a little bit later. Stick around. We are here with Shannon and the mayor. We'll be right back.